At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Great show today. It's Lake of the Week Day. But first, a first-time guest. John Hoyer, the current and a two-time National Walleye Tour champion. It's all coming up.
Fishing pole, keys, tackle box in my hand. Gonna cast a few lines with my toes in the sand. Pulling in a big catch makes me feel like a man. But the wife, she just don't understand. I love walleye, perch, trout, and bass. And if you don't like fishing, you can kiss my four-stroke right in the back. Cause the fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm fishing Paul Bunyan country.
This is Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. John Hoyer, my guest. First time we've had John on the show. Great angler in the walleye world. Has won the National Walleye Tour Championship twice, including this past year. And he's been out catching fish this spring. John, thanks for stopping by.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You got your name from the guys at Northland, good friends of mine. Said you were an ace to talk to, so here we go. I know that you just got off the water, so... How's it been out there?
Well, it was Lake Mille Lacs, so it's always fun. I think today, you know, we actually didn't catch that many fish, but it was one of those days where you're just kind of, you know, purposely exploring or trying to catch them on a different lure. So, you know, 30 walleyes is a bad day on Lake Mille Lacs, and that's probably about what we had today.
Okay. So, a couple weeks of fishing so far. Where all have you been?
I started on Leech Lake for 2 days in that beautiful snowstorm.
Yeah.
And then I fished Mille Lacs on Monday for about a half day. And then I actually went with a couple friends down to Nebraska muskie fishing for 3 days.
Okay.
And then came right back and I've fished Mille Lacs the last 3 days.
Okay. Well, John, I know you're involved in the fishing industry on a number of bases, including a little bit of guiding, which finally is open. And let's get your thoughts as a guy who's in the midst of this, what it's been like for guys in the fishing industry during COVID and before that, a really lousy winter.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends that are full-time guides, you know, especially over in, like, the Michigan area. And, you know, they were completely shut down right at the heart of their, you know, like Detroit River walleye run. So, you know, talking to my friends there, my heart really went out to them. You know, luckily for me, the guiding part isn't the majority of my income. So, but, you know, I could definitely feel for my friends that, you know, are such hard workers and they've worked so hard to get a full book of guide work. And then 2 months of it's erased right off the top, you know, to start the year. So, it hasn't really affected me. I do mostly musky guiding, you know, when the season starts. And so that part hasn't affected me. But, yeah, I'm happy to see that, you know, our state's one of the states that is thinking on a realist level here and understanding that, you know, being in contact with three or four people, the odds just aren't going to be that, you know, that's how COVID gets spread, you know, versus big gatherings of people. So I'm happy that our governor has chosen to open that up.
Yeah, and again, it's a weird world we're all trying to live and work our way through. And I'm with you. I feel good for our guides that are getting things to to go. Still, the guys with the big boats and they can get lots of people out of the charter boats, they can't really do that yet, but at least we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, John, talk a little bit about who you are, how you got involved in the fishing business, and, yeah, just give us your story.
Well, I was born in Brainerd, Minnesota, so that I like to joke and say I have a little bit of that walleye gene in me, you know, that all those Brainerd folks have and the, you know, Bemidji, Brainerd area
mm-hmm.
guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess a long story short, you know, my dad taught me Lindy rigging from a guy named Ray Bema, who was an old guide in Brainerd. And, you know, so my dad taught me the finer parts of walleye fishing and how they're picky eaters and everything. And I really found myself in, like, the last, I don't know, 10 years of my life to really try to break that falseness of walleyes being picky eaters, you know. So that's kind of my MO. I really try to use artificial baits, like, almost 100% of the time and really work them aggressively and just always try to, like, figure out a way to make walleyes more aggressive and to bite bigger lures or faster-moving stuff. And finally, all my work and everything came correct for me last year on the National Walleye Tour. I guess it was my fourth year on the pro side, and I finally won my first tournament at Green Bay, and then later on I took second in the following tournament, and then I ended mm-hmm. up winning the championship also. So the year of all years, and it just happened to be the year that I said I was going to do fishing full time. So my dad's a Lutheran pastor, and he's really taught me to appreciate, you know, all the blessings that we've been given in life. And I mean, last year is just a blur to me, but it's pretty easy to look back and think about how that was all, you know, divine intervention. So, yeah, it was cloud nine for sure. But, you know, now this year, just trying to win every tournament this year. So, obviously that's unattainable goal, but it's really kind of a fun feeling to, you know, go into a tournament now and have that confidence knowing that I can do it. And it really changes the way that a person fishes, especially in a tournament.
So I don't know if that's fair. You know, Lutheran pastor, you got an inside track to the, you know, miracle of a couple fish turning into many. You know, that doesn't seem fair to me.
I agree. And it is what it is. Like, I feel like other pastors' kids could get into the National Walleye Tour. They have that opportunity. So, like, I can sleep at night, but I completely agree because, you know, when I talk to my dad and he asks how practice is going, I might tell him I'm really excited or partially I'm just looking for five bites. And then, you know, it's basically like I don't have to say anything. I know he's just simply praying for five bites then. So, yes, I think it is an unfair advantage.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how you went from just growing up fishing to getting into the biz. Was it just something you jumped into right away, or was it a process?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved fishing. You know, my parents told me they're always peeling me off the dock, you know, at my cousin's cabin or whenever we went fishing, you know, fishing till sunset. So, you know, other than that, I don't know, I've always just enjoyed just simple hard work, like blue collar work. I was a union carpenter for 20 years and, you know, that was 8 hours a day and then go fishing for 6 hours, like almost every night. And, the drive really kicked into overdrive when I started musky fishing. And I guess that would be the first time that I could say, you know, I was generating money through fishing, is when I started part-time guiding for muskies. So, you know, I guess 15 years later, you know, I still guide for muskies, like I said earlier. And, you know, I started fishing the National Walleye Tour as a co-angler for 2 years. Had crazy success in that, which is really divine intervention because you get paired randomly. But what it did is it enabled me to have confidence that, you know, I could hang with, you know, some of these pros I was fishing with. I knew some were way above me, but I wanted to jump in feet first and, you know, start fishing the pro side. And when I made that decision, I didn't cash a check for my first year, but it didn't really bother me. I knew this is right where I wanted to be with that pressure and, you know, being on that big stage. And I just really enjoy the competition that is, you know, tournament fishing.
And, of course, you go and win it all last year. But this year, I just had Chip Lear on the other day, and it's going to be tough to get a National Walleye Tour season in this year, it looks like.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, behind the scenes, we've been talking to some of the tournament director and everything, and they're trying their hardest to actually still get us four tournaments into even October. So they've been working really hard. It's obviously tough to all of a sudden get, you know, cities, that towns that want us to be there when they've already had things scheduled and their schedules have changed and there's permits. But I appreciate the effort they're making. And obviously, you know, we have two tournaments for sure on the schedule, Green Bay and Sakakawea, which is supposed to be our third and final tournament. So, you know, if we only have to fish two, obviously none of us can complain with, like what you said earlier, the world that we're living in right now. You know, everything's changing. So if we get two, I'll be happy enough with that. And if we fish four, you know, that would be amazing.
And obviously, you know, there may be adjustments made, and I think everybody's going to have to be flexible and be willing to be flexible if they want to do some tournament fishing.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You know, I think that's kind of the standard thing, if we've learned anything from COVID, is, you know, really it's kind of just everybody does their own part. You know, everybody's staying safe, you know, washing your hands, stuff like that. And, you know, that's a impression that obviously the National Walleye Tour and any business that's involved in entertainment is going to have to set going forward, and rightfully so. So, you know, I think in a fishing tournament format, you know, whether the rules meeting changes a little bit, if it's just, you know, via text or over Facebook Messenger or whatever, you know, all these companies are going to do to make those changes. I think in reality, you know, even if it is we're social distancing at a weigh-in, you know, we can still have that event effectively, in my mind.
Much more with current National Walleye Tour champion John Hoyer. Plus, it's Lake of the Weekday. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. It's Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. We're celebrating our 30th year. John Hoyer is on the show for the first time ever. Two-time champion of the National Walleye Tour, including the current champion. And John, you were talking about your goal of proving that walleyes are aggressive eaters. Tell me some of the things you like to do to make them a little more aggressive, and what you've mastered over the years.
I mean, really, some of the stuff is even new as of last year, but it's really just a lot of lures that are doing, you know, the same types of things. They're really just moving faster. But so, like, for instance, a jig and a paddle tail, when I took second at Sault Ste. Marie, I was throwing a 3/4 ounce jig head with a 4.5 inch paddle tail right into the thickest cabbage ever. I mean, same stuff that grows like on Bemidji, on Leech Lake in the summertime. And, you know, those are tough fish to get out of there. You're really kind of limited to, you know, you're not going to waste a shiner minnow throwing it in there. So you got to fish an artificial. A crankbait follows up, but I was literally ripping it so hard, I was clearing the cabbage and then just letting the bait fall, you know, back down to the bottom. And it's part reaction bite. It's actually something we do for muskie fishing. But, you know, it's a reaction bite where that bait blasts through the cabbage and then falls really fast, which in my mind is almost like a fleeing perch. And for whatever reason, it really triggers like a predatory response from a walleye. And the bites are just thunderous, and they have these big swim baits, you know, way in the back of their throat. So stuff like that really kind of, I started thinking that way after I realized what the triggering characteristics of, say, like a jig wrap was, or a shiver minnow that dies even faster. And then just kind of taking that, you know, to how I present other baits, you know, like a rattle bait, a rip and wrap, or, you know, overweighting that paddle tail, just all those baits, you know, just letting them move faster, letting them fall faster, and not just slow rolling something. Because really, walleyes are really intuitive. We all know that they have really good vision. So when you speed things up and you force them to make a decision versus like being able to inspect your artificial bait, that's where artificials can outperform live bait. And once you start moving stuff like that and you get that predatory response out of them, like, I've had many a days on Mille Lacs, especially in the last few years, where it's like, there's no way you could outfish this presentation with live bait right now. There isn't a live bait that would do it. So that's just kind of the basis of it. But it's a really fun learning curve, and I push a lot of friends and people on Instagram that follow me to just go and try it, and it's crazy how many messages I get back just saying, like, wow, thank you, I tried it, you're right, it works. And it's like, yes, it does, like, enjoy, this is awesome. It's so fun to, put walleyes up on this pedestal, and they are, like, one of the best predators in the lake. They have a lot of similar characteristics to muskies.
Okay, I've never heard that before. I've talked to a lot of muskie anglers. I've never heard that comparison. That's a unique perspective.
Yeah, I mean, really it comes down to the bite, like how a pike will, like, slack you up and run through and waste a lot of energy. I kind of hate pike, secretively. My friends know I do. They've all stole my lures, and they weren't muskies on my muskie baits. But, you know, the way that they run through a bait when they bite, where, like, a walleye and a muskie bite the same way, they stop dead with, like, the most, like, the smallest amount of effort or energy used, and it's that thump, you know, that kick on your jig. So, yeah, I mean, and then throwing their eyesight at low light, I mean, they're awesome predators, and this stuff is just unfolding to me. I mean, every time I'm on the water, I feel like I learn something new or, you know, push the envelope even faster and bigger, and it really, like, the last 3 years have been probably the most gratifying fishing of my life, and, you know, I've musky fished a lot. I've caught a lot of muskies, and that's amazing, but, like, to start seeing these similarities with the way I walleye fish is really an exciting thing for me. And now to have success doing it on the biggest stage in walleye fishing, it really speaks for the walleyes. You know, I've just been lucky enough to experiment with some of these presentations.
You know, you're kind of unusual in that most of the musky guys I know, they're musky guys. That's it. That's all they do. And they might mess around with walleyes for a couple of weeks until the musky season opens, but then that's it. I've never, you know, you're passionate about both of these species.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, with an asterisk, I mean, when you're catching walleyes that are, you know, on a national walleye tour, you're fishing for a new Ranger boat, you know, that excitement rivals a muskie and a figure eight. I think I'll still say that figure eighting a muskie in a muskie tournament, like, it's, I don't think anything will ever be that exciting, the rush of that. But, you know, really when it comes down to it, I've fished so much in my life, I'm finally realizing that saying about people finally realizing it's not the fish they're fishing for, it's really just the anticipation of figuring a bite out, going to a new body of water, seeing if this thing you're thinking about, this presentation you're thinking about works, and that's really what drives me, is just simply that anticipation, you know, regardless of if it's bluegills, crappies, perch, walleyes, muskies, so... I really just like fishing when it comes down to it.
You were talking about some of your main lakes, Leech, Vermilion, Mille Lacs, Minnetonka, muskies in all of them. What's your favorite muskie lake?
Man, the last 3 or 4 years, I definitely have to say Leech. It's kind of our shining star of Minnesota, pure natural reproduction, and there's a lot of muskies in Leech right now. I mean, there's a lot of everything in Leech, and... you know, overall, I would definitely say Vermilion. And it's kind of more of the scenery, and there's a lot of big muskies. But, you know, our populations are definitely hurting in the lakes that the DNR have cut back some of the stocking on. So, I mean, for bang for your buck, I would say Leech, you know, right now is definitely my favorite.
Leech is definitely in a sweet spot right now. They've got a ton of fish, as you noted. They've got a lot of different year classes, which is really nice. And they're also having a stretch of time when they've got a lot of 50-plus inch fish in it. You know, it's a good time to be fishing muskies on Leech, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, John, if people want to find out what you're up to, if they want to learn more about you, want to learn some of the things that you do on the water, how can they follow you and keep up with you?
Instagram is by far my number one thing I do on social media. I do a lot on the little, like, story portion of it and, like, show the baits I'm catching fish on, laugh with my friends. So it's John Hoyer Fish on Instagram. And then Facebook is Hoyer Fishing.
Okay, Hoyer Fishing on Facebook, John Hoyer Fish on Instagram.
Yep.
Are you booked up for the summer, or are you have a guide opening or two for somebody who might want to do some fishing with you?
Yeah, you can contact me. I really, I definitely, my schedule for tournaments is so full that I do little stints of guiding here and there. But if you want to just message me on Facebook or Instagram, that's the best way, or You can email me, john@hoyerfishing.com.
All right, john@hoyerfishing.com. John Hoyer, the reigning National Walleye Tour champion, joining us today on Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Hey, John, it was great talking to you. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. I look forward to the next time we can talk.
And there will definitely be a next time. Up next, the Lake of the Week. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. It's Lake of the Week Day. We're checking in with Andy Thompson, the Acting Area Fisheries Supervisor out of the Bemidji office. Andy, once again, thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
This lake is not a secret to anybody. Lake Irving, of course, the inlet takes you right from Lake Bemidji to Lake Irving. It gets a lot of pressure, particularly early in the season for walleye. But as an extension of Bemidji to some degree, a lot of species and a lot of fish in that lake.
Yeah, that's really how I kind of think of it. Is it's almost like a bay of Lake Bemidji. It's very closely connected, easily navigable between the two, and it warms up earlier in the spring. It's fairly shallow, and it warms up quick, and it also freezes earlier in the winter and attracts some early ice anglers.
Again, the fish go back and forth. There's a lot of the same species there. Is there anything about Irving that gives it any variety that's a little different from Bemidji?
Yeah, you know, it's with a maximum depth of only 19 feet, and it's a good-sized lake, really. It's over 600 acres, very small compared to Lake Bemidji, but it's shallow and it has a lot of vegetation, and that makes it a little more suitable for some of the panfish and bass compared to Lake Bemidji. So it's got some bluegills and some crappies and some largemouth bass, fairly low density populations, but they really grow well in there, and there's some nice sized fish of all those species.
Well, and you don't hear a lot about crappies or bluegills or bass in Lake Bemidji, that's for certain. But we know, if we were watching the College Bassmasters Championship we had here a couple of years ago, you know there are some bass certainly in Lake Irving, because that's where the champions found them.
Yeah, that's right. They did well in there, and they managed to keep that a secret, I think, too.
They did a really good job. Yes. Plenty of northerns in there as well, and just like Lake Bemidji, just a lot of walleyes in there.
Yeah, the walleye catch has been really good in there our last couple of surveys, and I think it can just depend a little bit on how the fish are moving and where they're hanging out. You know, those fish are, if they're not in Irving, they're going to be in Bemidji. And it seems like we've had good catch rates in both lakes the last couple survey rounds.
Well, certainly Irving's got plenty of houses around it. It's not a secret lake or hidden away or anything, and it gets plenty of pressure. But I've noticed, anecdotally anyway, that Irving seems to be the better lake for opening weekend, and then by the time you're into early June, then Bemidji seems to wake up more.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, a lot of that has to do with the walleye spawn and some seasonal movements. You know, a lot of fish move up, and they'll spawn right in the river between the two lakes, but they'll also move through Lake Irving and travel on up the Mississippi and up the Schoolcraft. Some of those fish will go a long ways. So when the season opens, shortly after the spawning run is over, there's still fish that are up in Irving.
Okay. Nice lake. I always enjoy Irving, and again, lots of good fish to catch. How does it do as far as ice fishing goes?
It's really known as a kind of an early season, early ice lake. It does freeze up sooner because it's shallow. It cools off faster. And it attracts people because it's so close, and you can see it. You know when it freezes. People will walk out there initially and start fishing, and I think they do pretty well early in the season for mainly for walleye and perch, but, you know, there might be a few people even finding some of those panfish out there early ice.
Well, we know we've got zebra mussels in Bemidji. Do we have them in Irving yet? And if not, I'm assuming it's only a matter of time.
Right. They haven't been documented in Irving yet, but with boat traffic going back and forth between the two lakes, it is just a matter of time before you know, boats will move them up into there.
Now, Bemidji has typically been a fairly, you know, clean water lake anyway, not a lot of stained water in Bemidji. Is Irving the same, I would assume?
Yeah, not from a stain. It's a, you know, they're clear water type of lakes, but they do green up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Irving is actually on the impaired waters list, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's impaired water list. And it's just due to nutrient enrichment, a lot of which is natural. It's, you know, it's kind of a nutrient sink as a lot of the nutrients accumulate in the Mississippi River when they finally end up in Lake Irving. But, you know, some of it's related to being a lake in town with runoff, you know, from yards and streets. And of course, you know, we have our sewage treatment plant that resides right in between Irving and Bemidji as well.
Now, certainly, there's a number of public accesses on Lake Bemidji, and you can easily get from Bemidji into Irving, no problem there. But I think there is actually an access on Irving as well, correct?
There is. It's right next to the sewage treatment plant. If you find your way back in there, there's quite a bit of room for parking and a good double boat ramp that'll launch right on the north side of Irving.
Do you, I mean, when you're stocking and or whatever species, or if you are, I know they don't do a lot of it on Bemidji or anything, you don't do anything different for Irving than you're doing for Bemidji, do you?
No. The only stocking that occurs is really, well, for walleye, it's some fry go into Plantan every other year, Plantagenet,
okay,
which is connected quite a ways upstream, and then it's musky fingerling stocking in both Bemidji and Plantagenet. So yeah, there's not a lot of stocking in the system considering how many acres of water we've got in this whole Mississippi chain around Bemidji.
Okay. It is Lake Irving, our lake of the week. It's Bemidji's little sister, if you will, but a really nice lake, Andy, in its own right.
Yeah, that's right. It offers some pretty good fishing right here in town.
All right, Andy Thompson is the Acting Area Fishery Supervisor out of the Bemidji office. Andy, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
F-I-S-H-I-I-N, Paul Bunyan Country.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.